plagued a potential nugget.
Just picking up consulting as a career, Pramath, again, if I look at people that pass through the hopper all the way to becoming directors, senior directors, and having long tenures in the firm, that ends up being a small minority in a lot of other situations. But consulting, of all other professions, often ends up being a means to an end for a lot of people in terms of being a set of experiences that people leverage in other environments. So I'm always curious about how people should think about transitioning from, let's say, a path, consulting path forward versus branching off either at a manager level or a partner level or a director level. Given your journey and the journeys of others you've seen through, what are your thoughts on, how people should think about that?
I personally feel that everyone's journey is different, and I know that's not saying much. I think somewhere you take up a McKinsey or a consulting role because it's prestigious, it connotes success. And in your mid-20s, when you really join McKinsey, your big metric is to find something that will lead you to being successful. Being successful in your career, which is usually from, the point of view of the role and the job being viewed by your peer group, parents, families as prestigious. And also that it will put you on a path to being well-to-do from a compensation and money perspective. I think somewhere along the way, we all as human beings, and this is not specific to consulting, move from a model of saying it's about going for success to it being about going for fulfillment, purpose, and happiness.
Right.
And I should say success versus happiness, but happiness sometimes people think of as a corny thing, but I mean it literally that this is not the fun and pleasure kind of happiness, it's the satisfaction and purposeful and meaning kind of happiness.
Yeah.
So I think we all have that in us, but somewhere, there are people who actually shun corporate jobs and go and work in a not-for-profit or will join a grassroots organization and say, I want to live my life that way.
Sure.
Some of us don't take that decision early on in life, but as you go through life, you start measuring your life, as it were, in terms of not success, but in terms of happiness and in terms of purpose and in terms of fulfillment. And that's when you start asking the question, is this the life for me? And what am I really doing here?
Right.
Now, at which point you switch really depends on you. For some people, they are so ingrained in it that for them, maybe that is the purpose, maybe that is what gives them happiness. But at least for me, at some point, it started to mean less and less. I think when I went to ISB and came back, I realized the futility of being in a life where I had not experienced doing anything by myself. I felt McKinsey was too protected. And that my real strengths came out when I did things, when I took the thinking and applied it and took it to the next level. And I forward integrated, as it were, from just being a consultant. And so coming back was never the same. And not many people have that luxury or privilege of actually having gone and tasted the real world. So internally, you are always sitting there thinking, oh, I'm only good enough for this. Especially with people like me, hey, I was not even meant to be in business. So I'm really, you suffer from this whole imposter syndrome that I was never supposed to be in business. Here I am advising governments, prime ministers, building universities and so on. Where else would, or who else would give me this opportunity? So you better stay here. This is safe space. Then you go out and you taste blood and you say, wow, that's actually what I enjoy more. And that's actually what I'm really good at. This stuff I have to sometimes struggle with, right? And then you start asking yourself the question that what do you really want to do? And, by then in McKinsey, I had started doing a lot of work around leadership. And I used to say to myself that, how can I be an authentic consultant or guide on leadership when I'm not sure that I understand my own leadership? Or how am I developing as a leader? And what really... And so why not throw myself out there and challenge my own leadership and learn about my own leadership before I can start imparting gyan to others, right, on how to become a better leader. A lot of people argued with me that, hey, you can experiment with that internally in the firm. And honestly, I felt I couldn't. at least the kind of challenges I wanted to throw myself, there was a massive firm hierarchy and structure within which I had to navigate.
Right.
And I really, you always had to work with other people. You had to pick one of the practices. If you chartered your own practice, you had to get a director to work with you, and so on and so forth. At that point, I started finding the firm restricted, both in terms of what being a consultant meant, which is to hold yourself back from actually doing anything and being just an advisor, to the other aspect of saying, do you really have freedom to do what you want from a life purpose perspective? Yes, some people chance upon it, but most people in the firm had to kind of go into the mold of how practices and so on were defined. So yeah, so at that point, this whole purpose and meaning thing started to overshadow my perceived happiness or success that I was getting from what I was doing. And that's when I decided to leave.
Sure. And Pramath, you spoke about going to ISB, setting it up, and so on. But one of the pieces I'm curious about is directionally, I think when people reach senior levels in a firm like McKinsey, when you become a director, number one, you're operating in a stratified layer where there aren't that many opportunities that sort of qualify to merit your consideration. And also the stakes become higher. Having built such a precious career, you want to be careful about the next step. What are some of the thoughts on how people should answer the question about where to play next, right? And what are the mistakes you see people make just in getting the direction right?
Yeah, you know, I think there is no answer to this. I mean, my view of this is that, you know, what you're looking for when you're looking for something is, again, some combination of predicting that taking on something will lead to success and happiness, or happiness and success.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's a mug's game. I mean, you have, it's very difficult to predict whether something will work or not. And so you almost have to go in there thinking, hey, this is not my last job. Right? I'm making an informed judgment. It may not work out. And if it doesn't work out, there's something that will come after that. Now, it seems a bit fatalistic when I say it that way, and I don't quite mean it that way. Of course, you do the due diligence. Of course, you go reflect and you think and you talk to your spouse and talk to your mentors and friends and take an informed judgment of what you should do.
Hmm.
But, you know, I think often when people seem very sure of what they want to do, I would still give them the same advice that, listen, what you think you are very sure about, you can get disillusioned very quickly because you don't really know what the world holds for you. So I think if you are going to do something, thinking hard about, to me, I would err on the side of saying, is there real purpose and meaning and happiness that will come from what I want to do, rather than chasing success. And I think then success will follow. Because if you are not finding that, then it may not be worth leaving McKinsey. Because from a success standpoint, you are very successful. It's the best firm in the world to work with, I would still say. You earn well. People respect you. At some level, while you are running around a lot and working hard, it's a familiar environment. So why would you leave it to go to find some other success? This success is good enough. So you should only leave, I think, when there is greater purpose or meaning, and I keep coming back to that.
Very interesting. Yeah.
When you find something that really is fulfilling, rather than say, let's become an entrepreneur. You should become an entrepreneur if that's what gives you meaning. But it's not true that that is where you'll be more successful, unless you find meaning in that.
Very interesting. And since you mentioned this, again, clearly we are witnessing an entrepreneurial boom in terms of a lot of the alumni becoming entrepreneurs. Any watchouts? Again, entrepreneurship, sometimes there's a certain romantic notion attached with the notion.
Yeah.
Any watchouts or any thoughts on just the questions people should ask themselves before they take the plunge?
Yeah, I like to say this to people, and I learned this in McKinsey when I was there, that I think a lot of people take the entrepreneurial plunge because they're quite taken with the sexiness of their idea. So it's like, you know, it's like saying that I'm going to get married because I'm dating a beautiful woman, right? because obviously somebody being beautiful is not the only reason you should get married to them. And what most people don't realize that actually, like management consulting is a profession, or being a lawyer or a doctor is a profession, entrepreneurship is a way of life and it's a profession. And you have to care about the profession more than what you do today as a job, or working in a large organization, than care only about the idea. A lot of people get carried away. Oh, I have this wonderful idea, and if somebody else can start a digitally enabled laundry service and be so successful, my idea will also be successful. And I think what people have to first ask themselves is, hey, do I want to be an entrepreneur? Do I have this real strong urge to start up something and do something on my own, regardless of the idea? Because actually you start your next laundry service and 6 months later you realize it doesn't work. What are you going to do then? You're going to go back and take up another job. In which case, I would say then you are not cut out for entrepreneurship in the first place. That was the wrong way to think about it. A true entrepreneur will say, hey, this didn't work. Let me go find something else to do. And something else to do, and something else to do. And in fact, most entrepreneurs don't make good on the first big idea that they think they have, right? They have to pivot and sometimes go into a completely new business model and go 2-3 times before they can be successful, or never at all. But they love entrepreneurship so much.
It's a great insight. It's a way of life. It's not about the idea, but it's about a way of dealing with life.
There were three takeaways for me here. First was around the point Pramath makes about how his perspectives changed when he moved from McKinsey to lead ISB, and when he came back, it wasn't as much fun. I was reminded of the book by Reid Hoffman called Alliance. Reid is a co-founder of LinkedIn, and in the book he talks about how companies and individuals should think about crafting tours of duty, almost like the 6-month rotation program that new graduates are put through when they join companies like GE. To retain senior leaders who identify with the values of the organization but often have different aspirations. What he says is, A, you craft those tours of duty, and B, after the tour of duty is over, both the organization and individual could take stock to see if it makes sense to move forward, and if so, how. The point I want to make is that most people often don't explore the solution space and deal with these situations in a binary problem. You compromise and stay, or you move on. So just being a little deliberate and thoughtful about the solution set can often create a world of possibility. The second thing that comes to mind is the book Working Identity by Herbinia Ibarra. In the book, she talks about our identity of ourselves evolving as we go through our journey. I find that as people go through the journey in professions like consulting, the objective function in terms of what you're solving for begins to change shape, and is often very different by the time you hit mid-30s or 40 than when it was when you started out. So just being aware of that and seeing if it's still relevant is worth reflecting upon than just going with the status quo. Finally, when people transition careers, I often find them making choices based on a romantic notion of the career path, without adequate reflection around whether that path makes sense and what that path really means on a day-to-day basis. As Pramath says, when people seem too sure, then I start getting concerned. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or one of the other podcast apps.